draw nearer to his side today. Make sure my mic is on. There we go. We are on. Praise the Lord, everybody. Happy anniversary. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Can we give God a round of applause? Because God has been faithful. He has been faithful. Amen. 43 years of his faithfulness. Amen. Today we celebrate 43 years of the Washington Christian Center. We've come this far by faith. Amen. Leaning on the Lord. Leaning on the Lord. Trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord. Come on, we're trusting. Thank God for his faithfulness. Pastor Max, Sister Dolores, amen. Can we honor you? We are here today. 43 years after God planted vision in them, and we praise God for the lives that have been impacted. We are all here today as a result of what God has done through them. And it started 43 years ago in our basement. I know I was a four-year-old at the time. I know Brother Dave said he always gauges the year, how old the church is, by how old his wife is. Amen? That shows how long some of us been here. And we praise God for what he's doing. We look forward to God doing a great thing. I know, look, my wife just looks at you, just got in trouble. Amen? Amen? But we praise God for his faithfulness. We praise God for him being faithful to us all through these years. And we look, how many of y'all looking forward to 43 more? Amen? I'm looking forward, because the Bible says that he who began a good work will complete the work. So guess what? No matter what it looks like to people on the outside, if it's a God thing, man can't stop it. Amen? And I believe this is a God thing that God started 43 years ago, and we look forward to what he's going to do going forward. I just want to thank Brother Joe and Brother Justin and Isaiah and the worship team, Brother Chris, just for getting our minds right this morning. And that last song that they just kind of focus us on is the importance of surrendering our lives. How many of y'all ready to surrender? It's hard. Surrendering to God is a hard work. It's a hard thing because it requires you to relinquish control. And this morning, I think we have a special, do we have Sister Kimball in here? We actually have a presentation to Sister Kimberlyn Collins. Some of you know Sister Kimberlyn Collins wrote a poem about relinquishing that control and how hard it is for us to relinquish that control. And she's going to share that with us. I'm going to let her share it with us at the end of the sermon. Amen? Amen. Can we open up in a word of prayer? Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for just your love for us. We thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be called your children. I thank you for being gracious and being merciful, being long-suffering, being a God who is patient, forgiving. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord God, that your promises are true. And we come today, God, as people saying that we want to experience what it's like to live in the land of promise, to live life on the in purpose that you have designed and created us for. And I pray, God, that today, that we, as we leave here, as we start off the month of November, that we will vow to God to take you at your word and to be beneficiaries of your promises, to go inherit our inheritance. God, we thank you and we love you. Now speak to us. I pray that if there's somebody here this morning who's never come to know who you are, who's never started a personal relationship with you, I pray, God, that they'll start that today. Somebody, God, who is fallen away and decided to take control of their own life, God, I pray that you'll bring them back. God, bring them back into the fold this morning. Encourage us. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of y'all ever arm wrestle? Any arm wrestle? Anybody know how to arm wrestle in here? I'm gonna ask, can y'all bring me that table? I want y'all to come help me out. I've asked two young people to help me out this morning. And I'm going to ask Asaya to come. I'm going to ask Tyler. Tyler, can you come on up here? And we're going to, how many of y'all think you're strong? Anybody think you're strong in here? If you thought you were strong, you didn't want to say it. You don't want to boast about it, right? So I'm going to put this table here. And if I could have the two of you, we're going to do an arm wrestling competition. Y'all ready? All right, get on your knees. You're going to have to get on your knees. There we go. There you go. All right. Yeah, you're all right. Now, how many of y'all know who's going to lose? I think he might beat me. This is a big kid. So this morning, before we get started, y'all can stay right. You can stay right there. You can stay like this. Go ahead. Put your arm up there. There we go. We've been talking about a series. Our series is titled what? Glory Days, Living Your Promised Land Life Now. And I pray that, have you all enjoyed looking at the book of Joshua for the last month or so? And God is talking about, amen. We've been talking about living our promised land now, life now. In our week one, we talked about these days are glory days. And we talked about moving from bondage in Egypt to the wilderness to living in the promised land. Then week two, we talked about how we ought to inherit our inheritance. And there's that we looked at a research study that said 89% of people who are professed Christians are living beneath what they think God has designed for them. And we talked about God's promises and how God's promises are precious and remarkable, but they have an obligation attached, and they've been made possible by what Christ has done on the cross, how his promises never change, how his promises serve to sanctify us, and his promises encourage us. And we talked about that in week two. And then week three, we talked about walking circles around Jericho. And we talked about Jericho. The walls of Jericho represent all of those things in our life that are blocking us from reaching into the promised land. And we said that God is the one who can bring those things down, but we got to walk by faith. And we got to fight from victory, not for victory. And last week, we challenged you to just start praying crazy prayers. To pray audacious prayers, to ask God for stuff that doesn't make natural sense. And we looked at Joshua, how Joshua asked God, God, if you can hold the sun up in the sky a little while longer so we can finish this battle. And how God answered his prayer, and that God is challenging us to ask stuff that seems ridiculous to man to take him at his word. Amen? And today, as we conclude in our last week, week number five, what we're going to be talking about is, listen, we can do all of these things that we talked about because what? God fights for you. It's important to know that God fights for you. And why it's important, because when you look at this picture, if you could, this is us when it comes to us fighting the enemy. This fight doesn't look like it's going to go well, does it? You know, they're both, you're how old? You're 12. They're only a year apart, but the size differential. This is a big, strong kid right here. And she's just a dainty, very elegant young lady. But when you look at this, and we're gonna talk about armor. When I say go, I want you to go. On your marks, get set, go. See, that's what it looks like when we try to fight the devil by ourselves. That's what it looks like when we try to fight or go over these big enemies like Joshua and the children of Israel when they face the giants. That's what it looks like when you try to face the giants in your life. That's what it looks like when you try to scale the walls of Jericho when you do it on your own strength. But what we want to talk about today is God fighting for us. God fighting for us. So I want you to understand this is really what is happening. Tyler, I want you, when I say go, I want you to go again. But Zay, I want you to help your sister out. Can you help her out? On your marks, get set, go. He putting up a fight. But the end was already determined. Can y'all give them a hand? The reason why, many of y'all who don't know, see, Zay is a bodybuilder. So he lists real, I mean, if any of you have ever seen him on Facebook, some of the stuff he lists, I was like, I don't even want to do that. That looks too painful. And if you've seen how strong he's at, he's fit, he's a strong guy. And what I wanted to get you that picture is, in this life, when it comes to experiencing the promised land life now, I want you to know that you don't have to fight your battles by yourself. That we have a God who fights for us. And as we conclude in this book of Joshua, I want us to turn to Joshua chapter 23. If you can look in Joshua chapter 23. And Joshua is at the end here. Before we read Joshua 23, I'm going to have us declare our glory days declaration one more time. Our glory days declaration. If we can say that together on the count of three. One, two, three. These days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. God's promises are true and his word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all he wants me to be. Do all he wants me to do and receive all he wants me to receive. These days are glory days. I like it. It says, with God as my helper. With God as my helper. Wasn't that the picture of what we just saw this morning? With Tyler trying to do it on her own is too much. But with her brother as her helper, she can defeat that enemy. She can defeat her opponent. With God as our helper, we can be all he wants me to be. Do all he wants me to do. And receive all he wants me to receive. These are glory days. We're going to look, Joshua 23. I'm going to look at verse 6 through 13. Verse 6 through 13. So be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Do not deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their gods, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. For the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy. For the Lord your God fights for you, just as he has promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, there will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. I want us to look at verse 9 and 10. It says, for the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you, and no one has yet been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. Can you like that picture? That one of you are going to cause 1,000 people to flee. Man, those odds, look, when you look at those odds, they're not good when it looks at us in our favor. But God said, with me, listen, one of you will put 1,000 to flee because it is not you who's fighting, but I fight for you. And this morning, just like when we look at Joshua and the children of Israel, if we can just go back through their history and we see just what we've been talking about in the book of Joshua, how God brought them to the brink of the promised land, how God brought them out of Egypt with his mighty arm. He sent the 10 plagues, how they crossed over the Red Sea, how they got to the land of promise and rebelled and went back into the wilderness. And God, while they were in the wilderness, sustained them because he had a plan for them. It's so awesome to know that sometimes, even when I disobey and I go out in the wilderness, God did not ultimately destroy them because he said, I still got a plan for you. So while I'm teaching you a lesson, I'm going to give you what you need to sustain you while you're in the wilderness. He sent them bread for heaven. And he sent them water. He sent them food in the wilderness. Then when they learned that lesson, when he got to the Jordan, he divided the Jordan so they could cross over the Jordan. He defeated all of the enemies on the east side of the Jordan River for them. Then when they got to the land, the same land that they saw before that they did not think that they could conquer, God said, I'm going to go in before you and listen, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to send word before you get there that the people will be shaking in their boots before you even arrive. He brings them to Jericho and brings down the walls of Jericho just by them marching around them. God fought for them. But you know what? That same God who did all that, you know, he is the same God today. He fought for his children, and he still fights for his children. And this morning, as we close this series, all I simply want to share with you is that God fights for you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if it's something in your marriage. I don't know where it is in your life. But I want to let you know that God is the same God that fought for the children in the book of Joshua. He fights for his children still today. And there's three things that I want to talk about that God fights for us in. He fights for his children. But there's three things that God has demonstrated, three ways he has demonstrated how he fights for us. And I want to share them with you this morning. Number one, God fights for you. God fights for your salvation. God fought for your salvation. This morning, I hope I can get to the other two because we're going to spend some time right here. See, God fought for them, and he fights for your salvation. In the Bible, in John chapter 3, verse 16, says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." Man, that's somebody fighting for you. He sent his one and only Son to die on the cross so that you might have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and verse 8 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That is God fighting for your salvation. See, the God who fought for the children of Israel, do you know he fought for your very soul? How did he fight for you? How did he fight for your soul? Why was it necessary? The reason why it was necessary is because we were all born as enemies of God. We were all born separated from God because of our sin. See, God fought for you. When you love for somebody and you have a care for them, you will fight for them. I fight for my family. I will fight for my wife. I will fight for my children because I love them and I care for them. And that is how God feels about you. Do you know God created you? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that he created you in his image. He created you and designed you in his own image. And it says, listen, that the creator of the universe, the master of the universe, he said he spoke everything into existence. He spoke the sun into existence. He spoke the fish in the seas into existence. He spoke the moon and the stars into existence. But when it came to you and I, it said God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God created, he spoke everything, but he touched us. He spoke everything, but he went down and designed you, and he shaped you and molded you in his image, and he made you to love you. And that's why he fights for you. And when I say God fights for your salvation, that's why what Jesus did on the cross is no small thing. Because what happened, he created you to love you. He created you to live with him forever. And we had a funeral here yesterday. We had a homegoing service for our sister Cooper, Sister Catherine Cooper. And I praise God, I always love to hear Pastor Mac present the gospel. And Pastor Mac said it yesterday when he was sharing at that homegoing service, that you know that we weren't made to die. God designed you, he created you to live forever. He designed you to live in eternity, in sinless perfection forever, but there's something happened. See, we talked about this morning, surrender and submitting our will. What happened is God made you to love you, but he didn't make you a robot. He made us with a will of our own. And see, because it would not be love if he forced us to love him back. He made us to love him, but he gave us a choice whether we're going to love him back or not. And you know what man chose? Man chose to do our own thing. He made us to love us, but man said, listen, I want to do what I want to do. And what happened is the God of the universe who made us to love him and to live with him forever. Now there was a separation between us because we sinned. We disobeyed God, and God is perfect. The Bible in 1 John said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. But when you and I chose to disobey God, when we exercised our will to say, God, I want to choose my way instead of your way, there was a gulf that separated us. And that thing was sin. Sin, y'all hear me say it. Sin simply means to miss the mark, to fall short of the standard, to fall short of what God has designed. And God said, listen, my standard is perfection, and I made you to love me and to live in perfection, but I gave you a will, and in your will you chose sin. And therefore, because I am God, I would be less than God if I still let you in. See, people say, how could God send people to hell? No, if he allowed sinful people in, he'd be less than God. Because God has established a standard. And how many know that he's not the Son of Man that he changes his mind? He doesn't change his mind. If he establishes it, it's got to be done. So when man sinned, then the Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And then death by sin. Therefore, death passed on to all of us. We were born infected with this. We were born infected with this death in us. Paul says, what wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? See this, I'm talking about God fighting for you. God did not send folk to hell. God loved you, and he wants a relationship with you. But man, we have chosen to disobey God. We have chosen to sin. And because we have chosen to sin, now death rests upon us. And when we're born, we're born on our way to hell. We're born infected with this sin disease that condemns us to hell. But I'm going to tell you how much God, but listen, in all of that, do you know he never stopped loving you? In all of that, we chose, listen, he said, you can have all of this. All you got to do, I just want you to say no to one thing. And man chose sin. And even though we disobeyed God, and even though, listen, we denied the precious gift that he had, he said, listen, he didn't say, I'm through with those folks now. He didn't say, I gave them an option. They didn't choose it. I'm done with them. He fights for you. So he said, listen, by one man sin entered into, so death passed on to all of us. But God said, I ain't through with them yet. He said, I'm going to still fight for them. See, because now they're born separated from me. And the only way for me to get them back to where I originally created and designed them is there got to be a sacrifice made for their sins. So this is what God is. I'm going to just tell you how precious this deal is. And I wanted to take time here because when you do an invitation at the end of the sermon, sometimes you don't have the time to let you see this picture. I want you to understand how much God fought for your salvation. He said, listen, they sinned against me. They disobeyed. And even when they disobeyed, I provided a covering for them. In Genesis, when Adam sinned, God, what he did, he covered them. They were naked. God created them naked and unashamed. But when they sinned, God said, I got to cover them. So he sacrificed an animal. He shed blood so that there could be a covering for their sins. And in Genesis, what he said is, what I will establish, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to get them back to where I originally created them for. But it's got to be a sacrifice that is made to cover their sins. And there's no perfect sacrifice. There's no perfect being except God himself. So what God said is this. I'm going to show you. God fights for your salvation. This is how he fought for your salvation. This is how much he fought for you. That's why you cannot take your salvation lightly. This gift that we have is precious. It was bought by his precious blood. He said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to fight for you. Listen, this is the ultimate in fighting for somebody when you lay down your life. Passage says, listen, Every now and then, it's rare that somebody will die for a good person. But God commended his love toward me while I was still a sinner. Christ died for me. So what God did, he said, listen, because I'm the only one perfect, I'm going to keep fighting for them. So I'm going to come to earth because I can do that. I'm going to live and I'm going to go through everything that they go through. I'm going to be tempted. I'm going to go through all that they go through, and I will not sin so that I can qualify to be a perfect sacrifice so that I can get them back. I'm going to keep fighting for them. And so that's why Jesus came. He was born of a virgin. He was perfect, born, and he lived on this earth, and he did not sin. He lived here 33 years, went through all of the stuff that we went through, and he did that with you in mind. Can you imagine being born with on your mind that, listen, I came here to die for some folks? I got to live 33 years of my life knowing that it was going to end in them beating me. It was going to end in a crown of thorns on my head. It was going to end on me hanging on a cross because I'm fighting for them. I'm fighting for the ones who are putting me on the cross. Fighting for the ones who rebelled against me. I want to let you know today that God fights for you. The first thing that he fought for, he fought to get you back. He fought to redeem you, to bring you out of the slave market of sin. He fought for your very soul. Listen, he said, devil, he won't get him because I made him to love him. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. He shed his blood. He was buried. He rose again. The book of Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. God fights for you, y'all. And I want to let you know, the first thing that he fought for, he fought to save you. And if you're here today under the sound of my voice, and you've never come to recognize that, this is new information to you, I'm here to tell you, you're not just here in life just to do your own thing. He made you and designed you to love you, and he made and designed you to be in personal relationship with him. And you could never have that personal relationship with him because of your sin unless you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has done for you. God fights for you. First way he showed that he fought for us is by he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. Man, isn't that an awesome thing? That by itself, when you look at this verse right here in Titus chapter 2, when you take into your thoughts that what he went through, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us his very own people. That last part says, totally committed to do good deeds. When I think of all that he has done to get me, when I think of what he did to fight for me, the byproduct ought to be, Lord, how can I serve you? What can I do to bring honor to you? When somebody is willing to do all that they did to bring me back in relationship, the response should be, God, here I am. Here I am. Do with me whatever you will. Use me for your service. God fights for you. He fought for your salvation. Once you've come to understand that he fought for your salvation and you made the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the good thing is not only did he fight for your salvation, number two, he fought for your sanctification. He fought for your sanctification. To be sanctified means to be set apart. He fought for your sanctification. He fought so that you might live to glorify him. See, he saved you by grace, but then he has equipped you with everything you need for life and godliness. Once you come to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, you no longer have to live on your own power. God, listen, he fought for your sanctification. How do I know? Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And then what happens is what John says in the book of John chapter 14, this is what Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. God fight for you? How did he fight for you? He sent his Holy Spirit to empower you. So you don't have to try to do this on your own. The book of Acts chapter 1 says this in verse 8, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God fought for your salvation, but now that when you become his child, he said, now I also fought for your sanctification. I lived and I died, then I sent back another just like me who will abide with you to give you everything you need to do what I call you to do. Isn't that an awesome thing to know that God didn't leave you in this life on your own? And when we think about that Reveal research study, said 89% of the Christians polled said that they are not experiencing promised land living. Well, it can't be because of God, because God said, I fought for you. I fought not only for your salvation. I didn't fight just to save you. See, how twisted would that be for him to fight to save me and then leave me out here to try to do this on my own? He said, I fought to save you, but also I fought to sanctify you, to set you apart for you to live a holy life. When you look at even in the passage, if we look at the passage, he says, listen, if you look at in Joshua chapter 23, God told them, listen, I fought for you. If you look at verse 3, he tells them, I fought for you. I've done all this. I laid the foundation for you. But he said, listen, if you go down to verse 6, he says, so be very careful to follow everything Moses wrote in the book of instruction. Don't deviate from it, turning either to the right or to the left. Make sure you do not associate with the other people still remaining in the land. Do not even mention the names of their God, much less swear by them or serve them or worship them. Rather, cling tightly to the Lord your God as you have done until now. What he's saying, listen, I fought for you, but you still got to walk this thing out. He fought to save us, but we got to walk this thing out. But I'm here to tell you, if you lean on me, not in your own power, I'll take care of that too. What God is calling you to do is to lean on his Spirit. He fought for you by sending you and giving you his Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What kind of Spirit has he given us? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God fight for you. He said, I gave you the Spirit, and the Spirit I give you gives you power, gives you the ability of love, and to live a self-disciplined life. You need everything you need for life and godliness is in him. He who began the work in you, salvation, will continue the work, sanctification. God fought for your salvation. He fought for your sanctification. And the final thing, God fights for your success. God fights for your success. And when I say success, some people have certain things in mind. In today's age, when you say success, a lot of people think of financial security. They think of, you know, when you think of successful people, you think lifestyles of the rich and famous. We think what we see on social media, or there's a lot of images of success that the media will put out there. God's idea of success is not the same. God's idea of success is actually what we've been talking about these all several weeks. Promised land living. Promised land living. Living life on purpose. Living life experiencing the promises of God. God fought for your salvation, he fights for your sanctification, and he fights for your success. Do you know God wants you to be successful? God wants you to be successful. I did not say God wanted you to live in a gated community. But God wants you to be successful. What does he say? How do I know it? In the Bible, in Jeremiah. Jeremiah says in 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That sounds like success, amen? God has a design. He has a plan for your success. If we look earlier in this book, the very first chapter of Joshua, he says, study this book of instruction continually, meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. God fought for your success. And you see what the success is tied to? The Word of God. The success is tied to the Word of God. He says, study this book continually, meditate on it, and do it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. He fought for your success. What is one way he fought for your success? He gave you his word. He gave you his word. Do you know this is a success manual? There are a lot of books out there. You know, I've read a lot of books on success. I don't know, any of y'all ever listen to Les Brown? Y'all listen to Les Brown, Tony Robbins. Anybody heard Tony Robbins, Anthony Robbins? Dale Carnegie, anybody hear these books? Books on how to be successful. How to win friends and influence people. And there's a whole lot of great books on how to be successful. And you know, I've read a lot of these books. But you know what I find? What's a lot of these books are rooted in, and these authors are not necessarily Christians. But what you'll find is the Word of God in them. They draw their success principles from the Scripture. God fought for your success. He said, listen, I'm going to give you the success manual. If you want to know how to have a successful marriage, it's right here. If you want to know how to have successful finances, it's right here. If you want to know how to be a success in life, whatever it is, if you want to know how to be a good employee, it's right here. Whatever you're looking for, God says it's right here. God fought for your success, and it's tied into meditating and obeying and living out the Word of God. And a lot of us want to be successful. You see it. We're in the social media age. If you're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever it is, you see there's a lot of people who've got images of success. You see it all the time. We are in the selfie era. Everybody wants to show their success. And it's so funny. I was reading somewhere the other day. It's like, man, you never seen people on Facebook? They're the most successful, happy people. But when you know them, they're the most evil people in real life. Like some of the people that you follow, they look so successful on social media and are nice people. When you know them personally, it's like, man, they are miserable to be around. Everybody is on this image culture. And guess what? All of that is phoniness. If you want real success, follow the Word. Follow the Word. And God fought for your success. He desires for us to have success His way, His kind of success, but it all depends on us following what His Word says. The Bible, Romans chapter 8, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of them who love God and are the called according to His purpose for them. That's success. God fought for your salvation. God fights for your sanctification. And God fights for your success. He wants to give you everything you need to be successful. But you know what? God fought for your salvation. God fought for your sanctification. God fights for your success. But all three of these things, you know what they require? They require your surrender. God fights for your salvation. In order for you to experience that, you must surrender your life. God fights for your sanctification. If you want to live in that promised land living and experience the sanctified life, you must surrender your will. And God fights for your success. If you want to experience that, you got to surrender your plans. See, because listen, the Bible says many of the plans that man makes, it is the Lord who directs his steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. If you want to experience salvation, you got to surrender. If you want to live a sanctified life, you got to surrender. If you want to be successful and experience living in the promised land, you must surrender. It's right here. If you look at in Joshua 23, once again, what did he tell them? Listen, all of this, I will fight for you, he says. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 of Joshua 23 says, for the Lord has driven out great and powerful nations for you. And no one has been able to defeat you. Each one of you will put to flight 1,000 of the enemy, for the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. See, that's what it's all tied into. That's what he ends right there. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. He fight for you. He's done all this for you. So you better listen. You reciprocate by showing him how much you love him. And you show him how much you love him by what? Doing what he asks. And he shows you in verse 12. But if you turn away from him and cling to the customs of the survivors of these nations remaining among you, and if you intermarry with them, then know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive them out of your land. Instead, they will be a snare and a trap to you, a whip for your backs and thorny brambles in your eyes, and you will vanish from this good land the Lord your God has given you. Listen, he says, I fought for you. I fight for you. I've gotten all this for you. But listen, it's going to require you to surrender. It ain't going to be easy. I fight for you. But in this, listen, now that you've stepped in, it's going to what it's requiring of you. We talked about God's promises a couple of weeks ago. We said God's promises have obligation tied to them. He promises, I promise to fight for you. But if you choose to disobey, if you choose to be unequally yoked with the people in the land, he said, listen, not only will I not fight for you, it'll be like I'm fighting against you. Church, you got to get that, because God said, listen, what we have access is to the God of the universe fighting for us, being in our corner. But when we rebel against him, the God who possesses all power, you do not want to be fighting against God. And he told Israel, listen, if you don't do what I ask you to do, these same people that I said I'll fight for you and I'll cause them to lay down, they're going to be like a thorn in your flesh. You will be their servants instead of them serving you. God fights for you, but listen, he requires us to surrender. If you want to experience eternal life today, you got to surrender your will. You got to surrender your life. God did a whole lot. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. He loves you so much. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants you to live with him forever. He wants you to have to live an abundant life that he's designed for you. But he said the only way for you to do that will be for you to surrender your life. Admit that you are a sinner separated from God. Believe that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. And make the choice to have him come to be Savior and Lord of your life. When you do that, then he says, I will give unto you eternal life and you'll never perish. He fought for your salvation. But if you're here today and you've made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's also fought for your sanctification. Listen, he wants you to have life and have life more abundantly. He wants you to live life in obedience and live a separated life. What does that mean? A sanctified life. Come out from among them. Be separate. Be different. And he said, I've given you everything to live a different life. I've given you everything that you need to obey me and to follow me. I've given you my precious Holy Spirit. But what you got to ask, what you got to do is surrender your will. You got to be willing to say, God, I want you to fill me with the power of your Spirit. I want to put my will aside. God, I want to surrender to the power of your Spirit in my life. You need to ask God today. Somebody may need to ask God today to fill them with his precious Holy Spirit. Listen, filling, being filled with the Spirit, if you've accepted Christ, if you've accepted his salvation, you've got his Spirit. But now the question is, how much of you does the Spirit have? Have you given the Spirit full control over your life? He fought for you by sending the Spirit. Now he's asking you to surrender to the Spirit's control. If you're here today, you may need to ask God, listen, God, I want to surrender to the Spirit's control in my life. And then finally, listen, he fought for your success. And his success, your success is directly tied to meditating and obeying the Word of God. And you might be here to say, listen, Pastor Dwayne, I have not been looking at the success manual like I should. I spend more time looking at Facebook than I look at his book. And today I want to say, God, I'm sorry. I want to be successful. I don't want to be successful the way the world says it. I want to be successful by your design. I want to live life on purpose. I want to experience the promises you have for me. And in order for you to experience the promises, first, you got to know what the promises say. So you say, Lord, today I want to commit to spending time meditating and obeying your word so that I can have good success. Can we all stand together? If you're here today, I want to let you know that God loves you so much that he fights for you. God fought for you, and he keeps fighting for you. And when we turn our backs and we do our own thing, guess what? It's just like the prodigal son. That father and the prodigal son, he never stopped looking for that son to come home. That's how our Heavenly Father is today. He fought for you, and he wants to bring you back to him if you walked away. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Number one, God fought for your salvation. If you've never come to accept Christ as Lord of your life and you want to do that today, we want to give you an opportunity. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. And if this prayer expresses the desire of your heart that you want him to save you, forgive you of your sins, and make you who he wants you to be, I want you to repeat it silently after me. This prayer simply says, Dear God, thank you for loving me. I admit that I'm a sinner, separated from you by my sin. I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again. And today I make the choice to ask you to come into my life, forgive me of all of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, and you've prayed that prayer for the first time after me this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to just quickly slip up your hand so I can see who you are. If you're here today, thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Bless God. Is there someone else who said, listen, I prayed that prayer, Pastor. That was me. I prayed that prayer. We want to pray with you and for you and talk with you and encourage you. Is there somebody else who prayed that prayer this morning? Could you slip up your hand really quick, right where you are? Is there one? Thank you, God. Second is, if you're here and you said, Pastor Dwayne, I was that second one. I've accepted the salvation, but I want to ask God to fill me with the power of his spirit. I want to surrender to the power of his spirit in my life so that I can walk a spirit-filled life. That's you. I want you to pray this after me and say, Dear God, thank you for saving me. I admit that I've been doing my own thing. And today, I ask that you will forgive me. Fill me with the power of your spirit. I surrender to your spirit in my life. Take control. In Jesus' name, amen. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, if that was you, if you prayed that prayer, will you raise your hand? Let us pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Someone else said, I pray, God, just to fill me with the power of your spirit. Take control of my life. Anyone else, if that expressed the desire of your heart? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these who made the decision, God, first, to accept your gift of salvation. Thank you for fighting for us. Thank you that you're a God who runs after us, that you chase after us. I pray, God, that this one who made the decision, life will never be the same again. That you will transform, Lord, the life and all those around them, Lord God, that make an impact wherever you place them. For those, God, who raise their hand and say, God, fill me with the power of your spirit. I come to surrender my will to yours, and I ask, Lord God, I ask for you to take control in my life. Thank you, Lord God, for giving me your precious spirit. And now I relinquish control. I pray, God, in this morning, God, that you will walk with them, that you will encourage them. God, that you will be the lifter of their heads to know that though we fall, that we can get up and keep walking toward you. Thank you for being a merciful God. Thank you for being a compassionate God. Thank you that you are another chance, God. We love you today. We honor you today. And God, I pray now that we as your people, as your children, will walk in good success. That we will surrender and listen and obey your word. And God, live lives of abundance in the surrounding world so that it will give us a platform to witness for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we applaud?